It was the kind of hear your mother, or your big sister, or your great aunt, or your grandmother would have said. It was the kind of hear that let you know this was hard-earned money, but also that you needed it more than she did, and the kind of hear that said she wished you had it and didn't have to borrow it from her. But since you didn't have it, and she did, then here it was, with a kind of love. It was the kind of hear that asked the question, when will all this end? When will a man not have to struggle to have money to get what he needs, here? When will a man be able to live without having to kill another man, here? I took the money without looking at her. I didn't say thanks. I knew she didn't want to hear it. I went out to my car and drove back uptown. Edwin's was not the best store in town, but it was the place where most people bought what they needed. Those with money went either to Morgan's department store or to Baton Rouge in New Orleans. As you came into the store, you saw clothes for women on the left and clothes for men on the right, all set out neatly. There were no other customers and just one saleswoman, who did not show much interest in me. I went to the back of the store, passing the furniture department, with its chairs, couches, beds, chiffonniers, dressers, then the refrigerators and ice boxes, gas and wood-burning stoves, washing machines. Then there was the garden and yard equipment, hoes, rakes, shovels, axe handles, mowing machines, yo-yo blades, cane knives, and at the very end of the store were the radios and kitchen appliances, on shelves against the wall. I saw the little radio that I had in mind, and I took it down from the shelf to look at it more closely and feel its weight. Then I set it back on the shelf and turned on the knob, and after warming up for a few seconds, it started playing. I moved the lighted dial to get another station. I could find only three, two in Baton Rouge and one in New Orleans, but that was normal for this time of day. At night, you were able to tune in others. You could get one as far west as Del Rio, Texas, and another as far east as Nashville. I was still listening to one of the Baton Rouge stations when the saleswoman came up behind me. "You gonna buy that?" I looked around at the short, stout, powder-faced white woman. "Yes, ma'am." Her face changed, but only a little. "How much is it?" I asked.
$20, plus tax.
"Do you have one in a box?"
"That one's brand new," she said.
Her face was getting hard again. "It's a present," I said. "I would like one in a box."
"I can put this one in a box," she said.
"No, ma'am, I want a brand new one," I said, "if you have one."
"You can have this one for a dollar less," she said.
"I prefer a brand new one, please, ma'am," I said. She snapped the radio off and turned away. She was gone about 15 minutes. I knew it couldn't possibly take her that long to find another radio. But because I had refused to take the used one, and because she felt quite sure there was no place in Bayonne where I could find another one, she knew I had little choice but to wait until she got back.
"Brand new one," she said behind me. "Seal ain't even broke."
"Does it have batteries?" I asked her.
"It's ready to play," she said. "You want it?"
"Yes, ma'am," I said. She started up the aisle toward the cash register. But just about then, another white woman came into the store. The clerk set the radio beside the cash register and went to see what the white woman wanted. The other woman was not buying anything. She only wanted to talk. So they stood there about 10 minutes before the clerk came back to wait on me. After ringing up the bill, she asked me if I needed a bag. But she asked it in a way that I knew she didn't want to give me one. "No, thanks," I told her, and after paying, I tucked the little radio under my arm and left. The courthouse was to the right and across the street from the store. I walked between the parked cars and past a statue of the Confederate soldier and the state, national, and Confederate flags. Paul and Sheriff Guidry were in the office. Paul saw the package under my arm, and I could see that he was happy that I had remembered. The sheriff looked up at me from his desk.
"Well, Professor, is that the radio?"
"Yes, sir, I hope you don't mind."
"No, I don't mind this time," he said. "But from now on, you ask permission before you bring anything else in here."
I spoke to the deputy.
"The deputy can't give you permission to bring things in here. I do,"
he said. I was quiet.
Leave it, the sheriff said. I'll see that he gets it. Batteries, I hope?
Yes, sir. Batteries, I said. I had almost said batteries.
How did it go today?
He asked.
All right, I said.
The sheriff nodded.
I'll see he gets it.
Thank you, sir. I looked at Paul. He nodded and smiled. He probably would have said something encouraging if the sheriff had not been there. I went to my car and drove back to the Rainbow, hoping that Vivian would be there, and that we would have a drink and just sit there in the semi-darkness alone, together.